Hello and welcome to another episode of Extra Time, a conversation with the national newspaper staff writers and editors on UAE and international sports. It is Sunday, November the 2nd. I'm Chitravanu Karlail for the national.ae. It was a busy week for rugby fans across the Emirates as they treated themselves to the UAE Premiership Grand Final in Dubai, followed shortly by the Asian Development Sevens tournament, which was held in a lane that saw the national team compete in it. Paul Radley is on the line from Dubai to tell me what he took away from both these competitions and what we can expect in the coming few weeks. Hey, Paul.
Hey, CB. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. You?
Yeah, good. Thanks, mate.
First, let's talk about the Premiership Final, Paul. The title has finally returned to Abu Dhabi after the Harlequins beat the Dubai Hurricanes on Friday night. Were you surprised by the result at all? I mean, if yes, why? If no, why not?
Not really. Well, yeah, the result, definitely. The fact that the margin was so substantial, 39-19, nobody saw that coming, really. They were always going to be two very closely matched teams. They'd only... Hurricanes had actually won the preceding match that they'd had in the regular league season just by one point, and they'd admitted that they could easily have lost that game. If a late penalty had been converted, they could have lost that game. So they're very tightly matched teams, but it just all came together for Harlequins on the night, which is a big thing for the club because they've had a lot of near misses over the last 2 years. I think that it was only three seasons ago that they were right up the top like this, and won a season-ending tournament. But it's in golf rugby, because it's so transient, that feels like a decade in elsewhere that they've been without the major trophy, and they'd also got so close. They must have really been thinking they were jinxed over the last 2 seasons. They've lost 5 major finals, so I think they were pretty happy to get over the line in this one.
Right. Do you feel for the Hurricanes? They were top of the table in the regular season. They even beat Jebel Ali Dragons, who have been the best side over the past couple of seasons. Do you think they had the best chance to win the title this year, or do you think they will get better from this experience?
I think they're actually a work in progress, even though, like you said, they finished top of the table. They've got recent history just before the Dragons sort of had a monopoly on all the trophies over the last 2 seasons. Hurricanes were more or less the best team, and they've been that for quite a while. They're a fantastic club. And the team this season, they look excellent, but I still think that they've got a little bit more of improving to do, which is great for them, really. And they'll definitely be a force to be reckoned with in the Golf Top 6 after Christmas. But having said that, this might well have been their best chance to get a major trophy, because a lot of teams are really getting good now. Obviously, Harlequins have won this, so they're nominally the best team in the UAE. Right. Dragons fell away through a variety of factors, perhaps, at the end of the season. And then also in the capital, Abu Dhabi Saracens are getting really, really good this season. People knew that they'd be competitive, but I think a lot of people have been stunned by how good Saracens have become, so that they could actually be... Amazingly, bearing in mind they're such a young club, they could really be challenging for top honours after Christmas. So, although Hurricanes are a fantastic team and improving, and you can expect them to be better from here, it's going to be tough competition from here on in.
Right. You mentioned the fact that the Dragons fell away towards the end of the regular season. What happened to them this time? I mean, did the other sides finally catch up to them? These guys have been champions for 2 years in a row, or did they regress? Is it that their feeder system was to blame? Do you think they need more investment in the kind of infrastructure the other clubs have built?
No, I think they benefit from the structure of their club. The fact that their main focus is the senior section, and it has served them well. It's probably been why they've been so successful over the last couple of years. I just think, honestly, and it's an excuse that they probably wouldn't want to make themselves, and one that the other clubs wouldn't set much store by either if they did. But they honestly did lose a lot of players all at once. Like, they basically had an all-star. If you were picking a league select 15, 7 players from the Jebel Ali Dragons team would be in the running for that from their back line. And they were all missing all at once. And they lost out to the Hurricanes on their home patch while all those guys were away. And then they were still away. A lot of them were still away the following weekend when they got comprehensively beaten by Abu Dhabi Saracens down in the capital. So it was probably more to do with circumstances, I'd say, rather than a actual regression of the team or the club. And if they get all those guys back, certainly to the Sevens, they've basically owned the Sevens for years now, the Dragons, and they're going to be very strong in that. And then if all those guys come back after Christmas, they will be back to defend their golf top six title, or West Asia title, I should say, and they should definitely not be discounted.
Do you think in hindsight, had they qualified for the final, they would have won it, and do you think?
That's a difficult one to answer, because they've actually had the sign over Harlequins for the last 2 years. They've been their absolute bête noire, really. And also the Hurricanes as well, so whoever they played, they might have backed themselves, they definitely backed themselves. They'd had all their star backline players back, but it's just a sign of the strength of UA rugby at the moment, really, that it's not an obvious one to answer who would have won a final between any of those three teams.
There was a small controversy, if you want to call it a controversy, surrounding the selection of Adil Al-Hindi, the UAE's most promising Emirati rugby player. And he was not allowed to play in the Premiership final for the Harlequins, as he was told to represent his country in the coinciding Asian Development Sevens tournament that was being held in Alain at about the same time. Is the fact that he was up for selection for both teams good news for UAE rugby?
Absolutely fantastic, yeah. The fact that this tournament was organised on the same weekend as the cup final obviously looks like a massive oversight, really. But to be honest, when it was, you know, if it had been last year or the year before, it would have been no debate. There wouldn't have been any Emirati players up for selection for a team that was chasing the title, in any major title, because Emirati players haven't really played too much first-team rugby at Premiership level. And Abu Dhabi Harlequins were really annoyed, to be honest, that they couldn't get Adil to play, which is such a good sign that there is an Emirati player now who is worth his place in the team on merit rather than anything else. It doesn't matter, just chuck the passport away. They wanted him in because he was the best player in that team. Mm. And you could see, the best player for that position at that time. Mm. And you could definitely see why they wanted him, because he was absolutely outstanding in the Asian Development Sevens tournament in Alain for the UAE. So you can imagine, it's pretty obvious why Roelof Kurtzer and the UAE wanted to keep hold of him, because he was absolutely stellar for them.
Right, I guess it was a situation where you could actually understand both sides and them wanting Adil Al-Hindi's services. Give us a lowdown on the Asian Development Sevens competition for us, Paul. I mean, how is it an important series for the UAE in the context of future Sevens competitions?
Well, it's pretty important for them, because it actually gave them a chance to compete. They've been playing on the Asian Sevens series for the last couple of years with a novice Emirati side of young, emerging, talented players who are all learning together and trying to be competitive against sides, unbelievably well-resourced sides like Japan and Hong Kong, Korea, and teams like that. And every week, they're just looking for morsels of optimism, like perhaps they'll get a try in this game, or they'll be competitive at half-time in the next game. And to be honest, they probably don't get masses out of that. They have a tournament here, 16, of about a like level, for them to be competing and winning matches and scoring tries, and having some self-belief that actually, no, we are doing the right things and making some progress, was really important, I thought.
So you were happy with the third place, or do you think they could have done better than that? What was your analysis at the end of it?
Yeah, well, it was a little bit of a situation that they were stepping into the unknown. They didn't know too much about any of the opposition. Certainly Iran, they've not seen much of them. Nobody has, really. And they came over and they were a really athletic, powerful team who were comfortably the best team in it. And then the UAE were very disappointed that they hadn't beaten Lebanon in an early game, early on Saturday morning, the pool match that would have put them in the final with Iran. And a second place finish behind Iran would have probably been what they're really happy with. But then I think they're pretty content with third place in the end, which is where they finished.
Right. What next for the UAE? Where do they go from here? What kind of competitions are you looking at for them to participate in?
I think they have a seventh tournament in India at the start of next year, when hopefully they can retain some some of the optimism from that they've engendered from doing well in this tournament here. And then after that, it's a bit up in the air, to be honest, whether they'll be invited back onto the Asian 7 Series as permanent fixtures. So it sort of remains to be seen what's going to be happening with that. But they're fully committed. Whatever tournaments they're playing in, they're fully committed to that side. And there were signs of progress this weekend in LA.
Right. And final question, Paul. Domestic rugby-wise, when you look at the UAE Premiership competition, obviously you're very happy with what's happened at the end of it. What next now? What are you looking forward to?
Basically the 15th season shuts down now for 2 months, which mm-hmm. is a little bit peculiar. They had 6 months of a summer holiday without any rugby. Then they play for 6 weeks or 5 weeks in the majority of cases. They have 15s rugby, and then the 15s program shuts down for 2 months, which is a bit of a strange situation. And now they have three or four weeks of sevens, which is fantastic for the guys that are capable of playing sevens. And but the front row forwards of this world, to pick on them, or the second row, is now a little bit of a loss for competitive rugby. So there's a little bit of a flaw in the system somewhere along the line there that needs to be solved.
Right.
But coming up now for the next 3 or 4 weeks is the lead up to the sevens, which is obviously the pinnacle event right. in rugby in this part of the world. It's going to be some good sevens rugby played over the coming weeks.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to that myself. Not being a rugby fan, I'd like to watch a little bit more of sevens. I guess much like a lot of cricket fans like to watch 2020 cricket so that they can get introduced to the big formats, long form formats. But that's all we have time for, Paul. Thank you so much for coming on the program. Paul Radley is a staff writer for the National Newspaper. This episode of Extra Time was edited by Marwan Al-Hamadi and was produced by the National's Multimedia Desk. You can follow our sports coverage on Twitter at SPRT National UAE, our multimedia coverage at NSV UAE, Paul's tweets at Paul Radley. I'm Chitra Bhanukar Lyle.